Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another From a Christian Perspective with Prophetess Joyce Payne. We have a special guest today, and I want to introduce him. His name is Bishop Patrick Lane Wooden, Sr. He has been a pastoral ministry for 35 years. He accepted Christ at the age of 16 and resides in Raleigh, North Carolina, with his wife and of 35 years, Pamela McNeil Wooden. They have two adult children and a son-in-law and three grandchildren. Bishop Wooden was called and appointed to pastor the Upper Room Church of God in Christ with approximately 150 members, but to date, Bishop Wooden has been the pastor of the Upper Room for more than 30 years with a membership that now exceeds 3,000 and is steadily growing. Approximately 40% of his congregation are males. The Church of God in Christ Sanctuary is located at 3300 Idlewood Village Drive in Raleigh, North Carolina. He is the leader in church growth and development. He is also a founder and builder of a Christian school, the James H. Turner Educational Facility, and the Upper Room Christian Academy, a 16-acre campus. He is a businessman providing employment for approximately 75 full-time people and 15 part-time. He is one of the largest African-American employers in Raleigh and has many affiliations with business and civic leaders in the city. He has been the recipient of numerous awards for his continuous efforts to support people and the community, and he is a renowned national speaker known for boldly and uncompromisingly preaching and teaching about issues that affect today's society. Bishop Wooden lives by the principle, God first. Thank you, Bishop Wooden, for joining me on this broadcast. It is an honor to have your expertise available to participate on the From a Christian Perspective broadcast. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Prophetess Payne, and I want to thank you for the tremendous work that you're doing and for having this podcast and for granting me the privilege and the opportunity to be a part. I would like to say to your audience that I had one of the most pleasant and wonderful conversations that I've had in a long time with anyone. I had with you, and I really appreciate your heart and your mind and your soul and what you're doing. You're a true champion for the cause, and God bless you, and thank you for having me aboard.
Well, Bishop Wooden, we did speak previously, and we did share our viewpoints on various issues, and we will be speaking on some similar issues in this discussion today. And I have addressed a number of issues on my broadcast and website that reflect my understanding of the scriptures on some of the subjects that I want to discuss with you. And we may not necessarily agree with all points, but I believe that it would be helpful for our audience to hear a discussion on these current issues that pertain to our Christian faith. We may not do all of the discussion in this one session, depending on the time it takes to complete our discussion. And if not, it would be aired in a subsequent broadcast. So with that said, let me ask you my first question. Question one, our world seems to be overflowing with political upheaval and questions about morality and the correct path. One of the questions I tried to address on previous broadcasts is the Christian responsible to vote in elections? I've run across some Christians who believe they should not be involved in the voting process. My question to you, is it necessary or important for the Christian to vote?
Well, thank you for that wonderful question. My answer is it is necessary, it is important, and it is biblical. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. And he also said in verse 14, you are the light of the world. Well, the ministry to be salt and light basically deals with influence. salt influences the flavor of whatever it touches, and light shows the way. So Christians are called to be salt and light. And when you deal with politics, you deal with the affairs of the people. And in this country, before the Johnson Amendment was put into place in the 50s, it was a foregone conclusion that Christians were deeply involved in the political process. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are to pray for the kings and the rulers and the leaders and for all that are in authority, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and in honesty. So the troop, among the true power brokers of the world, are the politicians, because they pass the laws that we all have to live by. So by all means, Christians should participate in the voting process.
Okay, and so just being part of that question, so many people I've heard say, well, I believe God's going to take care of it, and they don't feel that they have a responsibility to do anything.
Yes,
is it fair to just believe that God is going to take care of it and that we don't have to do anything?
It is a derelict of responsibility, and it is somewhat a hypocritical stance, because those same people are trusting God to take care of them as they sleep at night. They pray. They say their prayers, but I guarantee you this, they lock their doors, they set their alarms, they check their wonders to make sure that they've done their part. All of us are trusting God to keep us healthy with all of the sicknesses and the disease out there. We brush our teeth. We try to eat right. We try to exercise. We realize that there is a part for us to play. And in raising our children, in riding in our cars, we put on seat belts. We guard our kids. We put the little kids in safety seats. We do all these things, and yet we trust the Lord to take care of us and to look out for us. So I think, and especially being an African American, given the history of this country where we, just based on the color of our skin, could not even participate in the electoral process or the voting process until the victories we gained in the 60s, I think it's criminal for a person to say God's going to take care of it and I have no role in it. We should vote.
Okay, thank you so much for that answer. My next question is, does the Bible give us any guidance in our decision whether to support a Democrat or a Republican platform?
I think, and this is an answer that I want your audience to listen to me closely on, I think that what the Bible does is that the Bible declares God's truth, period, on issues. Now, I judge the Republican or the Democrat platform based on what they have to say about God's declared truth that predates both the Republican and Democrat Party and both their platforms. Now, what I do is I look at what the platform says on various issues, such as, and I'll be quick, The Democrat Party, their platform on abortion says Democrats are committed to protecting and advancing reproductive health, rights, and justice. We believe unequivocally, like the majority of Americans, that every woman should have access to quality reproductive health care, including a safe legal abortion. I always wonder who is the abortion safe and legal for, certainly not the baby. A safe legal abortion, regardless of where she lives, how much money she makes, or how she is insured. We believe that reproductive health is core to women's, men's, and young people's health and well-being, and we will continue to stand up to Republicans' efforts to defund Planned Parenthood health centers. All right, on the same issue, the Republicans, platform says the Constitution guarantees that no one can be deprived of life, liberty, or property, deliberately echoes the Declaration of Independence, proclaimed that all endowed with their creator with the inalienable rights to life. According, we assert the sanctity of human life and affirm that the unborn child has a fundamental right to life which cannot be infringed. We support a human life amendment to the Constitution and legislation to make clear that the 14th Amendment protections apply to children before birth. We oppose the use of public funds to perform or promote abortions or to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood as long as they provide or refer to abortions. Now, in reading these two, the question becomes with me, which position is closest to Scripture? Which position can I, as a human being, not me as a politician, not me as a bishop, not me as a black man, but as a born-again Christian who one day will have to stand before God, which of the two party positions on this issue is closest to Scripture? I think the one that protects the sanctity of human life and those that believe that human life extends to people even before they are born, because David wrote about how God formed him in the womb before he was born, how he was wrought in the lower regions of the earth in his mom, and how God was with him even then, and how the Lord even assigned to him a life, a journey, a path, and this is according to Scripture. David says, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth," that is, his mother's womb. He says, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect," that is, not quite formed, "and in thy books all my members were written," that is, all of my days, "which in continuance was fashioned when as yet there was none of them," that is, before I was born, before I was formed, my days were numbered, things were fashioned before me. And so David says that there's life in the womb. David declares that he was a human being in the womb. So I would agree with the platform that supports life in the womb. And I think that when Christians look at it based on what is written in Scripture, not from what any politician, and by the way, I want your audience to know that I'm a registered non-affiliate. I have been a registered Democrat. I've never been a registered Republican in my life. So I'm not on this to promote a particular party. I'm talking to you on this podcast I am pro-black. My mom was black. Daddy was black. And that doesn't mean I'm anti-white. I'm not anti-anything. But I do believe the Bible, and I do believe that the Bible does direct us. But I don't believe that the Bible says be a Republican or be a Democrat. I believe the Bible says what it says. And then you take what it says as overarching, ultimate truth. If you're a Christian, you believe that the Bible is God's truth. Not just that the Bible is true, but that it is God's truth. Then you weigh everything else according to God's truth.
Okay, and I do agree with so much of what you said, and I neither am a Republican or a Democrat at this point. I basically believe in supporting what the Scripture says. I believe you partially answered my next question, but I want to read it, and I want to extend our conversation a little further on this issue. So my question number three was, Republicans are professed to be the more moral party, with Christian office holders who carry out the morality who carry out the morally right position. but yet we see their actions like mistreating the immigrant, breaking up their families at the border, political leaders caught up in lying repeatedly and charged and confessing to crimes, actions of national disloyalty, and dismantling of social programs that help the needy. On the other hand, the Democrats do not profess to be Christian or moral, but they do provide social programs for the needy, help the immigrants, while they also support abortion and homosexuality that is contrary to Scripture. What are some of the considerations that a Christian should be mindful of in making a right decision on their vote? I believe that you partially answered that question. Do you agree?
Partially. I would say this. First of all, I think it's a fantastic question. But the mistreating of the immigrants, one of the things that the media has done a tremendous job doing is that they use the word immigrant, and they don't differentiate between legal immigration and illegal immigration. This country was built on the back of immigrants. I don't think anyone can deny that. But at the time, the immigrants who migrated from our country didn't get free health care, free education, free housing, all of the things that the illegal and immigrants and many get when they come to the country today. Now, you know, your ancestors and mine, we weren't immigrants. We were people who were bought. They bought our people and brought us over. And one thing I do wonder, though, I wonder why we get very upset with the people who bought us, bought the slaves, and we seem but we seem not to get upset with the people who had slaves for sale. The Africans, our own people, sold us into slavery. So when I get upset about the slave trade, my upset is on, I get upset on both sides of the aisle. But having said that, there is a difference between legal immigration and illegal immigration. The interesting thing about breaking them up at the border, what most people don't know, and you'll go back and do your homework, and your audience will, that many of those pictures that they showed of kids separated at the border in detention centers or wherever being held, those pictures were taken in 2014 when President Obama was the president, and there was no outcry and outrage about it at the time. Now, the truth is it was a merciful practice because when a family showed up illegally, first of all, you had no way of knowing whether or not the child belonged to the parents or not. There were many Border Patrol people who would say that the people would drop the baby while trying to get away from the Border Patrol and just run. Well, no mother or father, if the child is actually theirs, would actually do that. In many cases, not all, but in many, I won't even say most, but in many cases, the children that they showed up with were not theirs. They didn't have any papers. They had no documentation. So to protect the child, there was a separation. Now, I have a little different take on it because when they showed the kids being fed, playing soccer with a clean environment, and they were safe, you know what I thought about Prophetess Payne? I thought about all of the kids, black kids, who are dying on the streets of Chicago, who are being shot in the street, and there's no outcry about that. Whether they're Democrat politicians, Republican politicians, you see all of the outcry about kids being separated from their parents. How many thousand black mothers are sentenced to jail annually for breaking the law, and every one of them, if they are mothers, when they are sent to jail, they are separated from their children, and they're separated sometimes for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, whatever, and there's no outcry about that. I believe that much of the outcry about the breaking up and the separation of families from the regular people, good-hearted citizens, was real. From the politicians, it was politics as usual because it's not a new program. It's the only way that we could verify, because many of those people showed up or they crossed illegally rather than getting in line coming through legally. Now, concerning your questions about Republicans claiming to be the party of God and politicians lying and caught up in behavior that no Christian should be caught up in, that is so true. And it's the sad thing about it is it's true on both sides. We know that we were told about the Affordable Care Act that if you liked your doctor, you could keep your doctor. Well, that proved not to be true. There are so many other things that proved not to be true. And in 1996, when President Obama was filling out an application for a lesser position, he stated that he was for same-sex marriage. But when he ran for the office of the presidency, and I think in 2004, he said that he was, when he ran, 2006, excuse me, he said that he was against it. And then we went over the progression, and then he said that he was for it. So I don't know which version to believe, but both of them couldn't be true. And we know that on both sides, politicians lie. And this is why I am an advocate for people making sure that they are at least informed. The atrocities that takes place on both sides of the aisle is one of the reasons why I believe that as African Americans, we should not vote 90% as we currently do one way. For when we support one party to that degree all the time, no matter what, that party will not do anything for us, and the other party that we don't support 90% of the time will not support us. You know.
Can I just bring something to your attention? I was on the internet yesterday, and I saw some articles that grabbed my attention, and I noticed that I was looking at a broadcast that was, well, a news service that's called Religion News Service. And it basically talked about the fact that the Republican Party had basically been called the Evangelical Party. And they brought out the fact that there are a lot of people now that are conflicted about that because they don't believe that they should vote for that particular party simply because they are Christian. They are also they also reported that there's a movement now for the Christians who are part of the Democratic Party to now take a leading role in helping people to understand their position as Christians and why they are supporting the Democratic Party, and to come forth and try to reach out to Christians to support the Democratic position. So I believe that is trying to equal out a little bit more the support for both parties, so that one party, as you were talking about, 90% of Christians perhaps voting for the Republican Party would be an imbalance. But if Christians on the Democratic side was also voting for Democrats as well as Christians voting for Republicans, then it would give us a different perspective. Do you agree?
Yes, ma'am. But the 90% that I was talking about were black people. Blacks vote 90% of the time for Democrats, and I don't think that we should do that. I think that we should make, as a people, make both parties work for our vote. If we do that, both parties are going to be more amenable to us. Dr. Melvo, you know Dr. Melvo, emeritus of Bennett College for Women, a tremendous African-American sister, advocate for black causes, and a Democrat and a liberal. When she was interviewed with Roland Martin, she said this. She told Martin, and this is a direct quote, speaking of President Obama, she said, "He didn't push for us. He didn't push us forward. He didn't move us backwards. he missed an opportunity. This is a direct quote. Dr. Melville opined that President Obama missed opportunities in, a direct quote, every area in the quote, and said, quote, he has targeted certain communities, but he never targeted the African-American community, end of quote. Melville, President Emeritus of Bennett College for Women, continued, quote, I would have liked to have seen this kind of passion when he talked about transgender issues that he had when he talked about African-American issues. He never said to any school, I will withhold your civil rights money if you discriminate. And what she was talking about is how President Obama, how he worked hard for the transgender community, the LGBTQ community, but he did nothing, according to her. He didn't help us. He didn't move us forward, and she was disappointed in him because he looked like us. Well, one of the things that people need to know about politics is if a politician knows that you're going to support them no matter what, that politician will not support you. And the LGBTQ community, I remember once when President Obama went and did a speech for them, they heckled him because they wanted same-sex marriage. They heckled the 44th President of the United States, and they threatened, you know, not to support. Most African Americans, on the other hand, once we help a candidate get elected, we don't hold them accountable. We don't check on them. We don't go to town hall meetings. We're not involved at all. So subsequently, and consequently, we get the short end of the stick. I think, and when I talk about this, many cringe, but they can't cite the error in my argument. All I'm saying is, it is not in our best interest to put all of our eggs in one basket. I had a conversation once with an African-American lady. We were on the phone, so I won't call the name on this podcast, but I tell you, if I call the name, all of your audience would know her because of the holes that she has in radio and television. She talked to me directly, and she said to me, Pastor Wooden, I have said for years that it is not in the best interest of black people, of our people, African Americans, to put all of our eggs in one political basket. I wish that that would be a defection of blacks from the Democrat Party, 10, 15, 20% of us, and either become non-affiliate or Republican, or if we formed our own. Do you not know that that would make both parties work hard for our vote, and the African Americans would end up, would end up being the big winners like other communities. If you notice the effort that the Democrats and the Republicans are putting into getting the Latino vote. Donald Trump ran on building the wall and still got 38% of the Hispanic vote. 38%, can you believe that? He got 61% of the white female vote. Now, what is my point? My point is other people's votes are for grabs. If we showed people, politicians, that ours were too, and that you won't just get our vote simply because...
You've been listening to From a Christian Perspective with Prophetess Joyce Payne over the Bachelor Pad Network. My guest today has been the pastor of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina, Bishop Patrick L. Wooden. I hope that you have enjoyed and been enlightened through our discussion. Please join me again next week at the same time for the continuing conversation as we discuss issues pertaining to our faith and the world we live in today. Remember, you can always listen to the podcast over this network at any time. Go to my website at georgerevapaineministries.com for more information on this ministry and books, where you can email me or contact me from the website. God bless you. Until next week.